I want to begin with some Greek. Okay, you don't know Greek, but it's always good to see if written down, because you realize I don't know that. So this one says pasa, all, psuche. Okay, this is like psychology. Psuche, it means soul. All persons, all souls, not spirits, not bodies, all souls. And then it's in the imperative mode, so it says, let all souls be subject, huper ekousais, to the higher powers, exousiais. Okay? So, let all souls, that includes Christians. You're a soul, you have a psuche. So, let all souls be subject to the higher powers. What higher powers? God? No. No. The higher powers right here, to the human sovereign, whoever he may be. So this huper ekousais. This is the higher sovereign. Now, it might be Caesar, but it might be an aristocracy, but it might be a democracy, or it might be the people. The higher power is who's ever politically sovereign. Now, the Bible doesn't leave that ambiguous. The Bible defines it and says that God has lodged all political power in the people. That means the people are always sovereign, even if there's a king. The King of England, King Henry VIII, that's the one we all know. King Henry VIII never ruled in his own name. He always ruled in the name of the people of England, or of the realm. In other words, he was a trustee. He was a servant. Even though he was a king, he acknowledged, I am not God. And he would not dare say he was God. Now today, men are not so reluctant. But in the days of one of the most arbitrary monarchs, absolute monarch, what Henry said, that's the way it was. You want five wives, you want six wives, you want seven wives. How many you want? You're the king. Do what you want. The king can do no wrong. All right, there is a powerful king, but he acknowledged the fear of God. And the Bible says this, whoever rules must rule in the fear of God. If you're going to rule, you have to be under God. You're not God. And that's all simple. A, B. Truth, false. God is God. He's not non-God. You're not God. So there you have it. A thing is what it is, and it's not what it's not. A and B. Simple logic. Aristotelian logic. Now, the logic I showed you in the last lecture was Hegelian logic. A man named Hegel, a great philosopher. And Hegel believed that a thing was not only what it was, but it could be synthesized with its opposite. Well, that's just words. Can you say that's just a game? It's just a game. A cow could be joined to a horse or a frog or whatever. Just a game. It's just stupid. It's just playing with words, but people will fall for it. Why? Because people are sinful and they don't want to face God. That's why they'd fall for it. Why would anyone fall for nonsense? Easy. Because people want to avoid responsibility. People don't want responsibility. They're happy. Men are happy that women take over. They're happy to do it. Yes, go ahead. You lazy bum. Well, you know, you got another beer, Alice? You know, and they don't mind. You know, a woman thinks she's putting her man down. And I didn't put him down. He's just glad to be done with that thing. Oh, you go to church. Take the kids, you know. Yeah, go for it, you know. And what's on TV? You know, and so, you know, he doesn't care. Y'all understand what I'm saying? People want to be slaves. You say, oh, too bad for people. They're slaved. Not too bad. They love it. They love being slaves. Because then you can tell God someday, you know why I didn't serve you? I was a slave. My master wouldn't let me, you know, out. I wanted to. You know that, God. God ain't going to buy it. You're never a slave. You're never a slave, outside or inside. Yes, it's true. People can capture you every once in a while, but you can also become free. God wants men free. That's what Exodus is all about. He brought his people out of Egypt. Get out of that house of bondage. You come out to serve me. The problem is you can't be free not to serve God. There is no such thing as freedom if you're not going to serve God. That's why people are not free today. Because they want to just be licentious. You know, I want to get rich. Why? Just so I can, you know, do all my stuff. I don't think God's going to, you know, I don't think that's his agenda. The only reason I must be free, I will always be free. Even if you capture me and cut my eyes, you know, I don't care. I'm still going to be free. Why? Because I insist on it. Why? Because I only have one God. So because I'm on the inside free, Whether I'm on the outside free or not, you can bind me, you can gouge my eyes out, you can cut my hands off, you can do anything you want to do, take all my stuff. I'm still free. Because freedom is spiritual before it is physical. And the only reason that God would protect me was because I was one of His. And He went, hey, that's my boy. Or that's my wife. That's my girl right there. Hey, take your hands off her. Didn't I tell you that was my wife? She's holy. She's spiritual. She's eternal. He likes me. Do you know that God likes you? Are you all aware that God's in love with you? And He wouldn't let anything happen to His darling? And if He did, He'd resurrect you in a minute. What are you worried about? What's the worst thing that can happen to you? Your flesh burns up. That's the worst thing that can happen to you. That is not so bad. But that's an advantage. The sooner you die, the better. So you got to reverse your thinking. I can tell a lot of your minds have to be renewed. You got to be renewed. You know, if you're struggling through some of this stuff Dean is teaching you, it's just because this is the way the devil operates on people that are operable. It doesn't operate on me. I don't care about psychology and sociology and all that nonsense. I can read it day in and day out. I understand it perfectly. I don't have any problem understanding it. It doesn't bother me. Why? This is not me. It doesn't apply to me. I'm not there. But if you're there, if you're compromising already, they'll only get a hold of you. Because then it hits home, close. Well, I want my child to do this and do that. Okay, fine. You sold out. But I'm not going to do it. I'd rather die, you see. And that's the way the founders thought. They thought like I do. They thought like this. Give me liberty or give me death. I'm not going to be a slave. So, you know, you may force me because you got chains around me and stuff like that. But the minute I get free, I'll just take off. Because I don't fear you. You're not there legitimately by God. It's just, you know, you capture me as a prisoner of war, and God apparently didn't want to come and rescue me right now, but He'll get me tomorrow, or maybe the next day, or maybe not at all. I don't care, I trust Him. And I know He's got all the power to do whatever He wants to do. So I'm just going to praise the Lord right where I am. Hallelujah! I remember one time I went to Mozambique, which is a black African country, and we got into the hotel, and I knew it was all bugged and everything. And you know, it's the place where all the Russians were, and you know, all the North Koreans and everybody. There were no Westerners. None. Zero. None. And so we were the only group that was there. And so the minute I got in the room, I realized, you know, I was going to go and put a sock over the little camera and all this kind of stuff. I thought, why should I? Hey, everybody! I just want to tell you, I love Jesus! Hallelujah! And so that ended it right there, you see. Because they're down in the basement. You know. You gotta get big to this. So when I'd meet the Russians in the in the elevator, the Russians are very sober type people, very serious. So I'd get in the thing and be serious like they were, and then all of a sudden I'd go like this. Hey, Gabrici Peruski. Aye, they'd lighten up. Jesus loves you. And then they'd get sad. Or the Koreans would be in the elevator. They have all the North Koreans were there. You know, you're there. Oh, Kim Il-sung, yeah. Jesus loves you. You know, it's a good way to witness. You get their attention. You understand what I'm saying? You got to be ready to die. You don't go to an African country unless you're ready to die. You know, you're not going there to have a romantic good time and write home about socks that, you know. God wants every soul to be subject to the higher powers. That's very interesting. I know He wants me to love Him. I know every man has a duty to love God first. I know that I am to love my neighbor as myself. What I may not know is that God also has given to every Christian a duty to obey His government. Did you know that?
Yes.
You have to obey the government. Even some of the laws, you know, you have to obey. Why? Because it's God. God created government. It's not the devil. The devil didn't create government. The devil would never create government. The devil would have anarchy. No, government is a gift of God. It's a blessing from God. And you have a duty then. So I have three duties. First, I have a duty to worship God first. So my highest duty is to God. He's my sovereign. My second duty is to love my neighbor, even before I'm part of a government. I could be a four-year-old child. There is no government for me, but there is at least my neighbor, my sister, my brother, my mom and dad. So I've got to love God first, and I've got to love my neighbor. That's long before society. Then after I get into society, it gets bigger than a family or bigger than a tribe or bigger than, you know, some kind of people group. Now all of a sudden I'm in a nation. And therefore I have to render unto Caesar. It was always God's will that we live in nations. I want to say this clearly. He was never expecting we'd just be in a little family or a little tribe or a little people group wandering around in the deserts or up in the mountains somewhere. Remember Abraham, a single individual? All of a sudden he became a family. Abraham and his wife, Sarah. And pretty soon he has a family. Of course, he also had another wife, Hagar. And he had another boy right there and another boy. And pretty soon he's got a family. But then it didn't long before he's got tribes. And pretty soon he turns into a tribe. And then he got a people. Still not a nation. Until Moses comes along. First time they were a nation. To have a nation, you have to have several things. One, you have to have laws. Two, you have to have a land. You can't be a nation just wandering around kind of like a hidden nation. No, you have to have actual prescribed boundaries. This is my nation, these are my laws, and this is my God. And these are our leaders, our rulers. Now, God wants you to be subject to these three things, A, B, C. The laws, the institutions, the provisions, the allocations of power, and to the officers, the rulers, the magistrates. And that's why the Bible says, Pasa suke exousiais eper ekousiais. Be subject, get underneath. It's a command of God. Be subject to, could say your husband, but in this case, and that's also true, but in this case it says, be subject to the higher authorities. Okay? The higher authorities means Caesar, or whoever it is. In America's case, it's not Caesar. There is no Caesar. We don't have a king. We don't have an aristocracy. We don't even have a democracy. Dialecticians call us a democracy. Dialectic liars. We're not a democracy. Democracy is nothing but mob rule. It's just the majority oppressing the minority and the individual. So the founding fathers looked carefully at democracy and said, absolutely not. I'd rather have a monarchy or an aristocracy than a democracy. The democracy is the first, worst form of government there is. Why? Because then the people rule, which means nobody rules. You're going to have anarchy or you're going to have tyranny. The tyranny of the majority over the minority. Every time you have a democracy, that means, and that's why all your textbooks say today, democracy. It's a lie. It's never been a democracy. It cannot be a democracy. But they want you to be brainwashed. And apparently everybody says, well, what are we? Well, we're a democracy. You're not a democracy. I can show you that none of the founding fathers called us a democracy. They know better. Of course, there is an element of democratic in it, where the people have something to say. But here's the secret right here. When God set up the human sovereign, He said it will not be a king. God never, ever, ever wanted to have a king. Never. He even told them when they finally thought about it, 2,500 years into human history, and all of a sudden they said, hey, you know what? We need a king. Other nations have it. Well, that's right. You're not like other nations. Well, we want to be. No, you don't. You want to be holy. You want to be mine. I'm your king, remember? And they went, well, yeah, in theory, but we don't want you to be king because you keep moving your tent. You're hard to camp with. You don't even let us sin. It's no fun being with you. And so God said, well, I'll tell you what, if I move away, it's not because I'm sick of your sin, it's because you're sick of me. Did you hear the difference? God didn't move his tent and say, oh, those people are unholy. That's not what bothered God. What bothered God was they didn't want him there. And so he said, okay, move my tent. Because you don't want me there in your midst. Because I won't put up with sin. I'll judge you. I'll be right there to curse right away. Because I love you, and because I love you, because I'm a father that loves his children, I'll chasten you. I'll chasten you sore. You all understand? Yeah. So if you're loved, you'll suffer. You'll be whipped, beaten, spanked. Oh, what a blessing. You see it? Don't you see it? This is why government is not there for your spirit, nor is it there for your soul. Government is there for your body. It doesn't matter what you think. They don't stop that. They don't have think police. They don't have spirit police. They're just going to stop you from doing something that's wrong. It goes against the public good. Now, the dialecticians have changed all that, changed all the definitions and so on. So what? I don't worry about that. Your issue is you just get right with God. You seek first the kingdom of God. That'll take care of everything else. Your problem is not to defeat all this or figure out what it all is. Your problem is, how are you going to live a holy life inside this world? There's no problem. As soon as you're committed to that, God will do it. And God will see to it that you prevail. The church today is the problem, not the world. And then the bad guys. We're just studying the bad guys because we don't want to study ourselves. Now, I know what Dean is doing. He's tricking everybody. He's talking about sociology and psychology, but he's really talking about the church. Y'all, did you catch on? He's really talking about the church. He's catching the church in its own hypocrisy. It's not that the world does it. It's that the church buys it. And the reason it buys it is because it wants to. We want to be enslaved so that we can say to God, well, you couldn't help it. We were deceived. You weren't deceived. You wanted to be deceived. So you could then answer, well, sorry about that, God. I didn't know that. I thought I was doing the best I could. How many know that as a parent, God's not going to buy it? Look, did you read my book? Yeah. Yeah, it was good. It's a good book. Well, did you do it? Not exactly. How many know that God's not going to be happy with that? He doesn't really like excuses. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, it was hard. Some of the stuff you put in it pretty hard, you know. We couldn't also be in the world and do your thing too. We had to make some choices. No, you don't make any choices. It's already been chosen. Once you've been bought with a price, you don't make choices. I was told my kids when they were small, you take that shirt off. You'll wear the shirt I say. But I don't want to hear it. We don't discuss this stuff. You do that, I'll spank you. Okay. And so that's how you break their will. Did you see how I just broke my child's will? Well, why can't I stay up? Because I said so. Now you go to bed right now. I don't like that. All right, you're going to be spanked. Okay, well, why can't I stay up? My sister gets to stay up. She's 18 and you're 4. That's why. It doesn't make a difference. I'm going to spank you. Get to bed. You understand? You know, I'm not her pal. I'm not her friend. I'm teaching her, you obey Dad. When Dad speaks, that's it. Hello? You all see what I'm saying? Authority is lost in our world today. So kids grow up completely spoiled, completely neglected, completely, you know, no one cares for them. If you love a child, you'll discipline the child. Spare the rod, spoil the child. So most people in prison today are there not because they were wicked, because they were spoiled. I want to say it again, because you probably didn't think about that. Spoiled, meaning someone always enables them, rescues them, protects them, and so on and so forth. Leave them alone, let them get caught, and pay for it early. So that they learn, and let it be rough on them. You all understand? But, oh, the poor person, you know, he grew up in a bad situation. I feel bad for him. He didn't have a dad. He da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, so what? I had 3 dads, and none of them were ever there. What was the big deal? My mom tried to abort me 4 times. Who cares? It failed. Here I am. I'm not mad at my mom. Thank God. She's smart. Hey, get rid of that little kid. It'll ruin your life. You know, that's all she was trying to do is, you know, do what grandmother told her to do it. You know, get rid of him. You want to have your life over? Get rid of him. So she tried over and over and over again. I said, it's okay, Mom. Thank God there's a God that liked me. Now she likes me, you know, but at the time she, you know, just doing what grandmother told her to do. It's a nuisance, you know, something in the road. Okay? I don't have any problem with that. Makes sense to me. But thank God, God didn't have the same view. He had a different view. He thought, you know, I like that boy. I don't know. That tickles me pink. I'm grateful for that. But I served the devil for years and years and years. I was a total pagan. No religion, no church, no nothing, no morals, no conscience. No conscience. I could cheat, steal, kill, lie, do anything. No conscience. Just didn't want to get caught. So I just don't want the consequences of it. So I'll just be clever. I'll live by my wit. Now, I grew up in a whole area like that, so it wasn't anything interesting or unique. But you just don't have one. Because if you had one, you'd go crazy. Because you'd have to think about it. And if you think, you have to drink. Did you hear what I just said? People that are drinking don't want to think because they don't know how to think through. Because they can't get to the bottom because they've been dialecticized. I could explain it, but I won't. So God is trying to set us all free. So government set up for our good. It's a blessing. It's a gift. Government is a gift of God. You want it. Is it corrupted? Of course. So what? It's still God's thing. Do you think just because God set up an office and it's corrupted that God's going to give up on it? No, the correction for an abuse is not non-use. It's proper use. So I'm going to teach you today how to do good government. How to be governed. How to be governed by God, not only spiritually, not only psychologically and morally, but also to be governed politically. You have a responsibility. Many of you have given up on the government. You're apathetic or you're cynical. Well, I just don't have time. I'm busy all the time. God didn't say it. It's an option for you. You got to do it. There it is right there. That's why I wrote it in the Greek. This is the original language. Pasa suke. Let every soul, that includes me, you, we're all there. Let every soul, what? Subject himself to the highest authorities, the higher authorities. Exercise. So I've got to do it. I don't have a choice. He told me to do it. So I owe it to Caesar to pay a tax. I owe it to Caesar to honor him. Even if he was a bad guy. I owe it to Caesar to honor him and also, what else? To fear him. Give to whom is due what they're due. Fear, honor, taxes, and tribute. The last two are similar. I won't explain the difference, but there's a difference between a tax and a tribute. Tributes to a foreigner who's taken you over. America's been taken over. Okay, it's not a big surprise. But you're no longer under the Constitution. You got contracted away, and you have become a slave, and you don't know it. You're a slave. And the reason you are is your own fault. Say, it's my fault. I'm not a victim. I didn't hear everybody say it. I want to say it again. I'm not a victim. I'm a culprit. Now, God gave you this duty and you didn't do it. You say, well, I was ignorant of it. Okay, but ignorance is no excuse. Ignorance is no excuse. Just because you're ignorant doesn't mean anything. You still have the responsibility. You should have read the Bible. The pastor should have told you, but he didn't. That's still your responsibility. Did the pastor say, I'll read the Bible for you? That's your job. Read it every day. Well, I didn't have time. I was busy. I know, but these are all excuses. The point is, God wouldn't have said it if he didn't mean it. So God wants you to read your Bible. Oh, another thing he wants you to do is rejoice all the time. Are you doing that? I mean all the time. Don't want to do it right now. Well, you don't get a choice. I mean, you're not your own. See, you're still alive. You're preserving yourself. You're a dialectician. You're a Satanist. Why? Because you don't want to obey God. You're as rebellious as, you know, Freud or Marx or anyone else. Darwin, you know, they're all rebellious, but they were at least honest about it. You're dishonest. So you need to say, God, forgive me. I have not done my duties to you first, to my neighbor second, and to my government third. Whatever. If you don't like this government, go to another one. You can travel about. It's free. Nobody's bound. In some countries, they won't let them out. But in this country, you can move around. You can even go to a bad country. I was once in a little country that didn't even have an embassy or anything. And they got a hold of me, the chief guy. And I demanded, I want to go to the American embassy. He said, we don't have one. I said, well, where am I? You're in a communist country. I'm in a communist country? Well, what do we have here? Nothing. Well, who's the law? Me. I remember he was a big 6'4" guy. His name was Alexander something or other. And I went, well, Alexander, I'm in trouble. So he had total power. And he would not let me out of his country. You see? So you got to have somebody rescue you. Or you have to subdue Alexander. And I'm just not that tough. But as soon as we got in his office, I found out, Alexander, he asked me a question. He said, are you a pastor? He couldn't speak English, but I knew a little bit of Russian. So he said, are you a pastor? I said, yes, of course. And then he said, are you Catholic? Said, no, not Catholic. I said, are you evangelic? No, well, maybe, perhaps. Are you Pentecostal? Yes, perhaps. You know, it's really hard to say. I'm a Christian. And he said, you have any books? Yes, here, look at these books. Take one. You want them? Take. So he said, I'll take care of you. I notice a picture on the wall, you know. I say, what is that picture up there? He said, well, that's, you know, Jesus. Because the Orthodox, Russians are all Orthodox. And I said, ah, how come you have that up there? My mother. So you're the chief, but your mother is bigger than you. So I want to go back to that country again. But, you know, he didn't do anything wrong. He took care of me. You know why? I belong to God. And I prayed. I prayed when I got caught. No, I hadn't done anything wrong. I hadn't done anything wrong. I just hadn't noticed that it said on my passport, it said una, which means one way. You can only leave the country. You can't come back. So I was leaving, no problem. But coming back, he said, this is una. I said, no, I paid for two. He said, it doesn't matter. It says una. Yeah, but it's wrong. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It says una. You're right. So I prayed. I said, Jesus, am I to be worried about this or am I to just yield? I said, oh, have fun. Relax. You're in my country. Hey. So I told him, no problem. So from that moment on, we became friends. Do you understand? Don't worry about the system of this world. Only worry whether you're rightly related to God. You can turn every problem into a victory. It's not a pie in the sky, it's a happy kind of thing. I don't care about suffering. Suffering doesn't mean anything. What you want is to make sure you are a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, whether you go into a communist country or whatever the thing is, who cares what it is? Doesn't matter. Muslim country, whatever. You're there because Jesus told you to go there, you shouldn't be there. And if you shouldn't be there, here's what you can do. God, I'm in the wrong place. Sorry. Now, could you help me out? Because I don't want to suffer all the consequences unless you want me to. Because I think you unfortunately picked me as one of your servants, and I'm not that bright. I'm not that clever. So I got myself in trouble here. Could you get me out? Thank you. I'm going to go to bed. You don't sleep, remember? So God always works things out while you're sleeping. You ever notice that about God? You're not paying attention, and all of a sudden God will work something out. The main thing He wants from you is praise, joy, happiness. Now, government is set up not to destroy you, but to bless you. So I'm going to read another scripture. This is the scripture then. I won't read it in Greek. Pasasuke. No, I said it wouldn't read in Greek. Every person to the higher authorities. Now, if you have the King James Bible, this one is not interpreted authorities. It is written powers. Be subject to the higher powers. Doesn't say that. If it wanted to say this is not what the Holy Spirit wants to say. He wants to say authorities. Authority is greater than power. A man with a gun has power. But a policeman who is a legitimate officer, he has authority to use the power. But a man with just a gun, even if he has a badge, he might have stolen it. He does not have authority unless he has it. And if he has authority, God gave it to him. And I'll respect the authority even if the person is an abuser. Did you hear what I just said? Why? Because God will protect me if I honor the fact that I'm ready to die, but I'm also ready to see God's hand at work. Remember, Paul would get in prison, and all of a sudden the prison door would be open, and so on and so forth. God can do anything He wants to do. If you don't believe in God, this wouldn't be any fun. It's only because you believe in God. I believe that these higher authorities are actually appointed by God. If they abuse their power, God will discipline them, not me. It's not my job to overthrow the guy. It's not my job to discipline him. In other words, somebody's job, but it's not mine. I can vote. I can express myself. I know how to do both of those things. But it's not my job to shoot the guy down. Bonhoeffer decided at a certain point that it was his job to do it. That's his business. Everybody has to decide what they have to do. But you have to ask God in each situation, hey, what kind of a situation am I in? Because if this is your authority, I'm going to submit to it. Submit to the higher authority. Now, not the higher power. I'm not submitting to any higher power except God. But I will submit to the higher power because God's sovereign. He's the sovereign power that I'll submit to. When I submit to Caesar, I'm submitting to God. When I'm submitting to Caesar, I'm submitting to God. So the laws are out there to protect you. They're not to protect the bad guy. Now you say, well, yeah, but sometimes it works out that the good guy gets, you know, taken and the bad guy gets free. That's true. But that's an abuse of power. And therefore, God does not okay that. But you've got to tell God. You can't tell the officer. You have to tell God. God, you notice here, your beloved, your girl, me, get going. You need to act. And if God doesn't act, so be it. You all have the same attitude I do? You all have the same attitude I do? You see, I'm not afraid of God's power. I know that God can intervene anytime He wants to. And I don't need help. I don't want anyone to help me. I don't want anyone to be nice to me. I don't want anyone to do anything. I'm not asking for anything. I'm telling God, I'm just telling Him, God, I want to remind you of something. You're the sovereign, not me. I'm your girl, huh? You chose me, remember? You paid for me. Okay, you better take care of me because this doesn't look good. And God takes care of me. I don't know why I'm not dead. I should be. I should be in prison. I should be dead. I should be sick. I should be something or other. But here I am. Aren't you amazed that you're still alive? And you know, some semblance of civilization still going on? I'm always amazed. God, He should have fallen apart years ago. If you study conspiracy theory and you know, you figure out all the bad guys and stuff, you'll go crazy. Which I know this is pretty much a room like that. Because it's all demonic stuff. But if you study the Bible, Jesus, you will not be crazy. You will be in your right mind. Because you realize, you know, it really doesn't matter. Maybe God's trying to speak to us here. Maybe He's trying to tell us it's not something wrong in the world. The reason there's something wrong in the world and you notice it is because there's something wrong in the church that you're not noticing. So notice what you're not noticing and don't worry about what you are noticing. You get right with God, you'll be right with the world. You don't have to worry about it because God will hold the world off. When He sees you're His beloved, He's going to hold the world off. Do you think Jesus died 1 second before God wanted Him to die? No, not a chance. Jesus knew. He said, my hour has not yet come. He told them, my hour has not yet come. I know my hour hadn't come. Why? Because I'm not done with my job. And as long as I have a job, I'll never die. As long as I have a job, I'm not going to die. So the only thing is to find out, do I have a job? Do I have a destiny? Do I have a purpose? I mean, specifically me. God, do you want me to do anything? Is there somebody else can do my job? That'd be fine. I'll come on home. But if not, then you're going to have to keep me alive. Woohoo! There's confidence. You see the boldness, the confidence that the early church had, the founding fathers had, and people today still have, and you're in this room. You got to be strong. You got to be willing to suffer. If it's not worth it, don't. But I say it's worth it. So I've made my decision.